All right, everyone. Hope you're doing well. Today's February 9th, 2023. Super Bowl weekend coming up if you're an NFL or sports fan. I'm a big sports fan, big football fan. Those that know me are well aware of that. Have always been for some reason. I mean, I've always enjoyed all sports, any game. I mean, we have adventure, basement sports. I was more of a soccer player as far as, you know, the sport I participated in. But as a fan, the NFL and football has always kind of had me at hello at 5 years old. I was there watching games, cheering for the Cowboys, which haven't done as well in a long time. So, who do you like this weekend? Got the Kansas City Chiefs against the Philadelphia Eagles. Should be a very interesting game. A lot of good storylines. But why do I bring that up, and why do we start with that, besides the fact that this is that week? Some earlier episodes, I forget whether it was season one or two, I spoke about a couple things with the NFL. There was the whole Colin Kaepernick kneeling issue and what that brought about as far as social justice and other forms of expression. Here you have this high-level celebrity who's in front of millions of people, and the actions that they take impact the way a lot of people think, impact the way the media reacts, impacts the way, you know, governments and people in politics maybe go about making policies because they know that the public is swayed by public figures. I think it's very interesting. And when Kaepernick did that, I was a big supporter of it. I don't know him personally. I don't understand his personal agenda. We know that financially, he certainly suffered for doing that, for taking that stand. I'm not sitting here feeling bad for him. He's earned millions of dollars as an athlete and through endorsements and other things, but that's not the main point. Football, we talked about that and how entertainment and stardom and public figures can impact opinions and be thought leaders in a sense, in a large sense. I also spoke about my personal struggle with sports gambling, which is something that started for me back in college in a very innocent, simple way, and then grew into something very dangerous for me personally. Personal finances were affected. A lot of things are affected. Relationships, when any weakness, strength and weaknesses, as we focus on in any kind of personal development, and for users of our TimeBug app, you'll know that's one of the main steps and features we focus on. It's important, and it's important to face our weaknesses, not always just put up this image of being perfect, which none of us are. We're human at the end of the day, aspiring towards divine perfection or just self-improvement at a basic level. Gambling for me, you know, hit home on a weak point in a sense where I just got sucked in on a number of occasions throughout my life. And just like people that have had problems with substance abuse, which it was never an issue for me in that degree, for me it was gambling. And it's something you have to continue to look at if you've ever had a weakness like that, and everyone has some. What are those points that you just don't know? Once you start it, it's hard to stop. And that's how you know it's some kind of vice. And I've stopped gambling, you know, I've stopped for long periods of time, and then you think I'm good. And then when I've restarted up, I've seen myself get sucked back in. So it's like there's development and advancement psychologically, maturity wise. And I am a believer in being open to testing the waters on something just to kind of see where you're at with it. It can be dangerous. I know that's probably not what they're going to recommend in AA meetings. Like, yeah, go out, have a drink, see if you could handle it. Not a laughing matter, but, you know, I think it's something for personal reflection to see. Dario Salas, my spiritual teacher, speaks about control, you know, let's say, isn't not having any cake. It's having that one thin slice and not having any more. Right? So in a similar context, sure, I could gamble on the Super Bowl, place one bet, and then not gamble the rest of the year. I'm not going to, but And I do want to bring it up in the sense of the legalization of gambling. It's like a bit of a long-winded introduction to that, but the fact that gambling has become legalized now in, I believe, 32 states in the United States and in Europe, it's long been available. It's a very big topic, and I'll just kind of tease on it today, and maybe we'll go into it deeper another time, but I'm very concerned about it. I'm concerned about it for our youth, for high school kids getting their first phone at the age of 10 to 12, 13. The age seems to keep getting younger and younger for getting devices. I have a 7-year-old son. He loves devices. And recently, you know, his mother and myself determined he was getting addicted, like a gambling addiction or an alcohol addiction. He was getting addicted to the screen. Regardless of what limits you put on it, it's never enough. That's how you know there's a problem, when it's never enough. You just had an hour playing games. You're not satisfied? No, you pull it away. It's like a struggle every time. Every day was a struggle to pull it away, even though he knew there was a limit. He would always try to get more, and when he didn't, it would always be a tantrum, even though he knew there was a limit. So that's how it showed us there was something dangerous happening there, some kind of weakness being exploited or manipulated by the screen and all the content that comes through the screen. So, you know, here I am, the CEO of this tech company, building these tech apps, running a marketing agency, working on social media and all of that, all of these high-tech things. And I guess the overall theme that I want to kind of put out right now and today is this whole digital versus analog. Digital versus analog. Analog meaning just offline, just normal non-tech life. I mean, how much non-tech life do we get access to nowadays? Not much, not unless you're living in, you know, the woods or some island without, you know, Wi-Fi around every cell towers around every other block. And that is the reality of the modern world, this advancing technology that we've seen over all the years of, you know, human existence. And again, Dario talks about it quite a bit. You know, you take man today versus a man 2,000 years ago, and is he really evolved? Are we evolved today from a man that could have been, you know, my size and height 1,000 years ago, 2,000 years ago? This whole concept of evolution and humanity evolving. Well, let's take humanity person by person, and on a person-to-person level, Dario doesn't feel like we have. You know, it's like we still have that reptilian brain and all this same componentry that we had 2,000 years ago. We just have better tech gadgets and tools. Does that make us smarter? And I agree with him 100%. I don't think it has. And in fact, it's put us down these rabbit holes of these addictive possibilities, obviously to be further programmed by advertising, by messaging, by thought leaders or controlling forces that are simply trying to plant more seeds in our brain that aren't really our true connection to life and to nature. So as we're going about the Golden Square and part of the ethos of implementing, you know, these keeping up with modern society and using the best of it, these apps and devices to offer people certain conveniences and tools that help them organize their life, or in the case of basement sports, enhance their gaming experience, their play experience. How do we keep balance? It's a big question. And I came up with this concept a long time ago. And again, in season one or two, one of the earlier episodes, we had a title, No Tech 50. And it was a concept and kind of a hashtag I'd put out. I'd like to bring that back now and say the concept was and still is, out of a calendar year, and this is something we could put into Timebug, maybe as a kind of a vision board or a goal that could be a group goal or a group Timebug. And it's the No Tech 50 bug, right? Who's gonna sign up for 50 days out of the calendar year where we significantly limit or completely eliminate technology from our lives? And you could define what that means for you. For some people, it could be no TV. If you wanna take it further, you put this guy away, right? So, you know, you take that hike into the woods that day, you let your loved ones know, or you're with people as a group. We drive up to the mountain, cars stay in the phone or stay at home. We're gonna camp out, we're gonna tent up, we're gonna stay in the cabin, no TV, no phone. I mean, really, it could be as simple as that. But how simple is that really? When's the last day you didn't have this with you? And if you don't, how many emergencies are there gonna be? Oh, because my mom needs to call me and my son. We've got a million excuses, right? Of course, if we work in a job that requires email, which most do nowadays, when we're working, we need to be online, but no tech 50 or 25. You don't have to do 50 days. But again, it's this concept, even going back to religious principles of, you know, 7 days a week and Sunday or one day of the week being a day off from normal day-to-day cycles. So in your rhythm of life and in this modern day world of like high-pressed, high energy, high speed, everything seeming to accelerate, future shock, right? How do we reverse that? How do we go back in instead of projecting everything out and letting our attention be fragmented out across 17 social media profiles that we have to manage and 300 emails that we've got to manage? We're drowning in our inboxes, right? And when we're not in front of a computer, we're on the train on our phone trying to catch up with email, catch up with social chat. If you don't answer people back, they're offended because everyone knows that everyone else has a cell phone. What happens when we run out of battery? Well, maybe that's a good thing. Maybe intentionally we should be offline, airplane mode, and have this kind of no-tech analog lifestyle. Have we forgotten how to live that way? I know my son did, and not to put him on the spot because it's just an example that when his mom and I decided, when he kind of went overboard and did some unauthorized app purchases when the device and the credit card was unlocked, okay, that's over the line. We're going to do a little bit of a fast. So he's about six or seven weeks into a two-month fast from screen time. And honestly speaking, anyone who's known him, who's seen him, have commented, and we can observe, we've never seen a brighter, more creative, engaged, emotionally sensitive young man. He's amazing. And he always was amazing, but the cloud, you know, that happens around too much screen time, and there's plenty of science to show this, but the science is right in your own life. You could see it. You could see it with yourself. And you could certainly see it with your kids. There's a movie, I believe it's called The Social Dilemma, which talks about this. And these are like executives from Facebook and Google talking about how these algorithms are made to literally try to control our brains and manipulate us. So, you know, first it was the radio in the homes, then the TV, and now it's the all-pervasive internet. And we have to be connected, always be connected on Wi-Fi. If not Wi-Fi, then it's 5G. A whole nother topic. And it's right, it's electromagnetic frequency, fog, tech smog, right? Everywhere we go in these cities, everywhere. So no tech 50, analog versus digital, as we're building out our company and our products. I continue to tell our developers, like let's say for Timebug, for example, great to have your list of your vision boards and your goals, or for KidCoin, your list of chores in the app. But let's continue to think analog. How can the parent and the kid print out that list so they can just post it on their fridge, post it in their bedroom wall, and have their 25 chores or 10 chores with a Monday through Sunday, Saturday? Or use a magnetic board like Melissa and Doug line of toys has that, those kind of responsibility charts. So it's good that a lot of those things exist. We're looking at ways on reintroducing those and introducing them into what we, how we convene, you know, in the Golden Square and in the village, and remind people that it's cool to have access, and we need to kind of be educated and up on all the latest and greatest tools. But let's make some time to have an analog connection to life and to the things we need to do in life. Again, Dario talks about it as kind of listening and tuning into the book of nature And it's hard to maintain and establish that connection with nature, with life, intuition, when we're so immersed in technology. It literally rewires us or disconnects us from ourselves and from nature. Staying on the NFL topic and going back to, you know, both the gaming, but just quickly on Aaron Rodgers, one of the players who I was never the biggest fan of because he played for a team that went against the team that I would cheer for. But I've come to appreciate him more and more in the last few years for a few reasons. A, speaking his mind even when he was giving unpopular opinions, you know, on health protocols, COVID, a whole thing there where he was kind of took the more natural path and was spurned for it, but stuck to his guns, had his reasons. And as he, at 39 years old, contemplates whether he's going to continue playing or not, his choice, he decided he's going to go this week into a four-day, I forget what it's called, but some kind of retreat where he's also disconnecting. He's doing the no tech for 4 days. And I think it's something like, I don't know if it was like related to darkness, but he'll be in some cabin, some undisclosed location with no human contact, no social contact, no technology contact, just him, his thoughts, his being, his spirit. And he's saying, well, when I come out of that, I think I'll have more clarity to make that decision instead of after an emotional season and when everyone in the world is talking about you and you're connected to all these social channels. So as a great example of someone that's connected enough, and Rodgers has always been a thoughtful, mindfulness-oriented athlete, which is why I appreciate him being on a public stage. And I look forward to seeing what comes out of that for him and how he talks about that. So pay attention to, you know, his tone and whatever announcement he makes, whether he does a quick tweet or has a press conference. It's whatever he decides. He doesn't owe that really to anyone except, you know, obviously the Green Bay Packers, who he's under contract with. He has to, you know, handle his business. So wish him well, Aaron, on your retreat and going inward to tune into nature and reading from the book of it for your own life path, which I'm a strong believer, again, CEO of me, each of us has to maintain that connection, find it, maintain it. Sometimes you do get the book of nature speaking to you through other people, right? Maybe it's a mentor or a family member, someone knows you well, and when they hear you talk or see your body language, they can give you a reflection, and that's helpful. But it's still up to each one of us to establish that full responsibility and ownership. And even for the seven-year-olds, like my son in second grade and his friends and the soccer kids that I coach, a good teacher is trying to instill that level of independence and self-reflectiveness and ability to process life and make decisions, make mindful, mature decisions, which takes time to get to for kids and for adults as well. Last thing on football, back to the gambling thing. So the stat I read with the 32 states in the US that now allow legal gambling, I believe this will be the first Super Bowl, I think it's in Arizona, right? It is, where in the actual stadium itself, there is gambling on premises. There's the first time that's happening in the Super Bowl. And it's like, oh man, and there's $16 billion that will be gambled on the Super Bowl. I believe that's just a US statistic. So I don't know what the global gaming figures are, but, and that's like a 40 to 50% increase from last year. I know it's a game, and of course you got to put money down that you can afford to lose, and everyone knows that, hears those sound bites, but not a big fan of it. I don't mind the fact that things are legal, like drinking is legal, a certain age. There's, again, these goes back to that slice of cake. And the fact that you can't control everything and everyone in life. Life, nature, has dangers. We need to learn how to navigate. We need to have that compass and that maturity and that sense of ownership, right? So again, I don't even like blaming the social media, blaming the gaming, blaming the bars for serving alcohol. If that's what they want to do, people could have a good time, be responsible, and enjoy a sense of balance with control. But we know the reality is there's people that lose control and don't have control. And in gambling, I could speak from personal experience and now also observation of others. It's not going to be good. It's not going to be good for not just our youth, but for anybody. It's a no-win proposition. Maybe 1% of people that actually play win money. So it's pretty much giving money to the house. And of course, that's generating tax revenue, and that's could be sold as a good way for governments to make money, right? Just as legalizing marijuana, just as many things. So I would say it's one of my missions. I don't know where it falls in the priority list, but it's somewhere in this golden square concept. You put it in the kid coin bucket about teaching young people and letting adults and families negotiate value creation and what it takes to kind of generate good habits, which lead to productivity, which lead to value creation, which lead to value exchange with nature, with life, through barter, through getting paid, through employment, through schooling, right? So this whole concept of exchange relates to our time and our energy and our mental connectedness to, I can tell you for me, the biggest thing with gambling wasn't the money win or loss. It was the energetic tie to that outcome. And the fact that for the next 3 hours, I'm going to be glued to that screen. And, you know, in this article I read, like, yes, everyone says the games are more exciting when we bet on them, of course. And now you're really hooked in. Maybe it makes it more entertaining, like riding a roller coaster, but what's the price you pay for that emotional, psychological connection for that 3 to 6 hours? Super Bowl will be 4 hours. Of course I'm going to watch and enjoy it. I'm going to be very happy not to have a financial stake in it. I enjoy football without the money in it. When the money's in it, I'm more engaged, but it's not an enjoyable engagement. At least for me, it wasn't. And I would like to see more data on that, as far as not just the 16 billion that are gambling, but how people are doing personally, financially, psychologically, emotionally, tying it back to my son when he was addicted to this screen. And if you ask him, do you want screen time? He'll say he wants unlimited. And that's a 7-year-old child that knows they're into something. They know it takes them away, but they don't understand the impact it's having. And that's where, as a parent, it's our jobs as the adult to kind of see the impact, see the effect, and try to relay why. Now, without talking to him too much, again, we've observed how much he's grown. He's playing with Legos, he's doing science experiments, he's writing books and stories now that are, he was doing a little bit of before, but now he's got more time to really go into that. So we'll come back to it on the gambling. We're gonna keep watching it. Some of these states just went into effect. I know in New York, New Jersey, a lot of lobbying, a lot of dollars go into it. It's very sad to me to see that the best of professional athletes, current, former, celebrities, everyone's getting in on the game. And they're taking the big endorsements from Caesars and MGM and all the other books, DraftKings and FanDuel, and they're just, everyone's taking the money and going with it and promoting it. And then you have announcers on the air commentating the game in the studios, talking about the betting lines, making their picks. Again, it's all fun and games, but it's not. It's not, and it's serious business. So, and then of course there's the 1-800 Gambling Anonymous thing at the bottom, at the end of the ad, just like when you see the pharmaceutical commercials, and then at the end they talk about all those death-defying things that could happen to your health, and that do. It's the same thing here. So I'd like to bring more balance and awareness to that, and we'll see what we can do. Maybe some kind of hotlines or some kind of, let's talk about it more and let's unearth how, what the psychological and emotional damage could possibly be. And just wanted to say that. And the last thing I'll just say there is, looking at my notes again, analog notes, and I just have 3-4 bullet points. as far as comparing modern day man to 2,000 years ago man, look at all the skills that we don't have as much anymore. Do we know how to hunt? Do we know how to make fire? Do we know how to do mechanical, tactile things with our hands, with our bodies? Or, you know, do we only know how to work with our mind and our hands, you know, typing, which aren't bad skills for communication and modern day employment. I have a few friends that are very deep into kind of going out again on hikes and in the woods and learning kind of nature courses, basically like Boy Scouts, right? And Girl Scouts. And it's something that I know part of me always resisted because I'm like, that's the past. We don't need to worry about that. Let's live in today and enjoy all the conveniences of modern cities, etc. But there's something to be said about, again, this analog versus digital and how we just want to press the easy button on the 72 apps we have on our phone and have food delivered by Uber Eats, all that cool stuff, which is nice and good to have, but we're losing ourselves in it. We're losing ourselves in it, and I don't think it's a losing battle fully, but a lot of forces are moving against us there that we might want to celebrate as some kind of evolution or force of like technological superiority. Where's the human element and the human aspect? So again, bringing it back to the golden square, it's my purpose and part of the vision of our companies to kind of bring some sense and sensibility and balance back to the equation. It is a battle against a lot of forces, monetary forces, commercial forces that are out there. I don't think big tech and big tech companies are really on our side of balance. So the way we're looking to apply our technology is going to be limiting. You don't need to be always connected. You don't need to be always online. That no tech 50 could be more than 50 days. Or how many hours in a day do you just shut it off? Don't sleep with your phone in your room. Pull your Wi-Fi plug before you go to bed or for hours on end in a day. Try to down your electricity at 7 o'clock. Use candles, right? Think about ways you can go more analog in your life for periods of time. I wish you luck with that. Peace.